Diane Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date's August 27, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. That's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of that shofar? You need to heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after this program or any program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, 620-878-4682. In emergency, the cell phone number, which you have to text me first because of the robocalls, 316-619-4886. And you can always find updates of the breaking news all about us, everything you need to know, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at the ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. We're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the internet. So it's on YouTube, podcast on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base. This week it's Bogar, Indonesia, Coventry, United Kingdom, Mexicali, Baja California, Mexico, and, of course, cities in the United States, such as El Paso, Texas, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, Portland and Seattle. My hearts go out to you. This week, Wichita made it back after about 3 weeks of being the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they podcast later tonight. Follow us and share with us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. I know you're all waiting for. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Please, please, please give everyone out there understanding to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest, he's back. He was with us last week. That's Pastor Carl Gallick, best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He's been heard nationally and internationally. He's on TV, radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, which is also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile and Mobile, Alabama. He's written 10 books. I think actually he just wrote 11, but The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, Masquerade, and now welcome Pastor Carl. Are you out there with me?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much for having me back on.
Well, you're the one. You let it out of the bag. You had something to say about Kamala Harris, whether or I guess Kamala, is it Kamala Harris? That's so
yes.
Ridiculous. Anyway, about whether she was, legitimate, and I know a lot of talk about it, whether she's legitimate in order to even be running for president. And I said that you were the best person to do it because, after all, you've been already involved in this kind of thing. You care to explain?
Yeah. Well, no, listen, I appreciate it very much. And if your listeners, you know, of course, it's your show. But if they have questions, I know they know how to contact you, and I'd love to field and answer some of those questions. But Yeah, you're laughing about pronouncing her name. It's funny because Joe Biden, when he called her up that night on the video chat with down in his basement, probably sitting in his underwear. Boy, there's a picture I don't want to see. With the mask on, he called her Kamala. And, you know, like a camel, Kamala. Well, that's not her name. I think her name is Indian. I know her middle name, Devi, is Indian. Her mother is from India, East India. Her father's Jamaican. I think it's pronounced Kamala with the Indian accent, but in America a lot of people pronounce it Kamala, which is kind of how it looks, but it's not Kamala. I know that.
Let me butt in just a second. Well, the reason I'm laughing about it, apparently you didn't see it. Tucker Carlson called her Kamala Harris or something like that, and there was like MSNBC and several other ones got all over him for mispronouncing her name and disrespecting her. And he said, so when he came on the program the next night, he pointed all that at and he said, her name is Kamala, like the word, like comma, Kamala Harris, because they drilled him with MSNBC, right? Well, you're right. That same, it was the same night. And then Biden gets on and just completely flubs her name. And so it was pretty hilarious. Back to you.
That, I didn't know that all happened on the same night. That's funny. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he called her Kamala, like a camel. And I think it's Kamala. How it's supposed to be said. But who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Vice president or president. The Democrat Party is burning itself down. But the deal is, brother, listen, I'm going to get into her eligibility. But here's the thing. I mean, I point this out in this next book I've got coming up, and it's like all my other books. It covers four or five different topics, and then I weave them together to show how they all fit into the times we're living, what the Bible says. But one of the things that I deal with there is this, the fact that when we turned the corner in 2020, there was a prophetic snapping that took place in the world, brother. And I mean, the COVID virus was the trigger. It was the first domino. But the virus is not the issue here. The issue is the spirit of fear that swept the world, the spirit of terror. That's demonic. And it caused the churches of the world to run and hide and to close down. It stopped missions and, you know, an outreach and the spreading of the gospel and the celebrating of Resurrection Sunday and the celebrating of the birth of the church on Pentecost Sunday and Christians fighting against Christians online and pastors being reported and going to jail and being fined. And I mean, it's still going on, brother. It's still going on. And most of the churches around the world are still not open. And if they are, they're not operating at full steam ahead, and they're not doing missions and outreach, and everybody's wearing masks and sitting 6 feet apart, and some of them are ordered under penalty of law that they can't sing. And, well, this all happened with fear of an upper respiratory virus that the foundation of that virus, coronavirus, has been around for, I don't know, from time immemorial. But, you know, so something evil is in the air that snapped with this, that's designed to interrupt an election, it's designed to bring down the United States, it's designed to bring all of the countries in line with a one world order and a one world vaccination and a one world order. If you don't take it, you can't work, you can't eat, and all of this biblical connected stuff. Brother, something very prophetic snapped, and in the middle of it comes Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as a team, some of the most, in my humble opinion, some of the most evil, deranged people on the planet, speaking some of the most un-American, ungodly, unbiblical plans for this nation should they win. And it's just all a part of this domino tipping that started in 2020, January, with the COVID scare. And it's still going. The dominoes are still toppling along the top of the table.
Let me give you something that came out today that you may not have heard of. And, you know, of course, Black Lives Matters and All Lives Matters, all that. But this is from, the American, you know, the newspaper thing or magazine, the New American, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They have this article that came out, and I'm not going to read all of it by any way, but the name of the article is called Hail Satan, after terrorizing churches, Black Lives Matter witchcraft exposed. And I'm only going to give you one little paragraph. In the audio, Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Kulos, I guess, boasted in a TV interview of being a trained Marxist, revealed that she's also consulting spiritual entities and allowing them to work through her, and I'm calling for spirituality to be deeply radical. We're not just having social justice movement. This is a spiritual movement. She goes on to say how these different entities come and possess her, and now this is a co-founder of Black Lives Matter, and saying basically she's demon-possessed while they're doing all these things. It's about a full-page article. Pretty interesting stuff. Back to you.
Well, Pastor Dan, I am very familiar with it. I watched that whole interview.
I did?
Yeah, I saw her live on camera. I heard every word she said. That's exactly, I mean, your synopsis is exactly right. She proudly boasted of not having any shame at all, not having any idea that maybe it was totally against God's word. Maybe she does know and doesn't care, but no, she basically confessed to being a witch. I mean, I don't think she used that word, but everything she talked about was witchcraft and demon worship and spirit channeling. And I mean, she and one other woman are the co-founders, part of the founding party of this whole Black Lives Matter Incorporated. And again, the term Black Lives Matter, that's true. Black lives do matter. And so do white lives and Asian lives and brown lives. Yeah, we get it. All lives matter. And, you know, and there needs to be some reform in the policing and all. We get all of that. I mean, any decent Christian, godly, or patriotic, law-loving American would admit. But they've stolen, they've hijacked the phrase. They've hijacked a truth, and they've turned it into this godless, America-hating, Bible-hating thing called Black Lives Matter Incorporated, which is a Marxist, socialist, communist, now we find out founded, it's a Marxist Socialist Communist organization. You can go to their website, Black Lives Matter, Inc., and go and read under there what they believe and what their principles are. And they will tell you. They say, we believe in a, quote, queer nation. I mean, they say that. They believe in abortion for all. Of course, we know abortion goes right to Baal worship, the sacrifices of infants and the church of the occultic groups that support abortion because it's a bloodlust kind of thing for them. And I mean, it all ties to Satan's hatred of the seed of the womb of the woman that brought his demise. I mean, all of this is tied together. And if you go read their website, they talk about basically their disdain for America, for capitalism, for a constitutional republic, for the Bible, for the Word of God, for Christians. They exalt homosexuality and abortion and all of these things that just spit in the face of God. So that's right. Who these people are. And no, you're right. I saw that interview. And this is the thing. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they support this, brother. They don't only support it. They promote it. They push it. They glorify it. So,
Let me give you something. I want to remind my listeners of this. I did a program probably 6 months ago with my wife, and I came across some information on Reddit. You know, I don't even who referred me to there or whatever, but Reddit is just a big place where you talk about everything, I guess. But these young people, there was a young couple on there, and they were talking about how they intentionally get pregnant so they can wait until their child is ready to be born so they can sacrifice it by abortion. And then they do it over and over again, and it's part of their sexual thing or whatever. And it's a new trend that there's a lot, and hearing all the talk on there, it's a trend that these young people are doing to sacrifice. And they say, you wouldn't believe how full it makes you to kill this child that we intentionally nurtured for 9 months and then slaughter it through abortion. Back to you.
Brother, it's a part of the infant sacrifice ritual that goes all the way back to the ancient Baal or Baal, what we call it in English, Baal worship. And it is Satan himself. Jesus said he is Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, the Lord of filth,
That is Satan, the prince of demons. Jesus said that. Even the ancient Pharisees knew that. They called Satan the prince of demons and Beelzebub. And it goes all the way back, way into the ancient cultures of the Canaanites, way back in Genesis. And this is still alive today. We've done, you and I have done shows on the ancient, the archway of Baal, the Palmyra arch, and being paraded around to the capitals of the world and the financial centers and power centers and globalist centers, and on Beltane, the international holiday for the celebration of Baal. Beltane means the fires of Baal. What were the fires? Infant sacrifice. So, yeah. Brother, it's all tied together. The Democrats have become the party of witches, the party of infant sacrifice, the party of sexual perversion, the party of marriage perversion, the party of gender perversion, the party of childhood perversion. Brother, it is demonic, and it's right before our eyes. And so much of the church just kind of rolls its eyes. It talks like we're giving. It's not just politics. No, it's way worse than that. We're living in very prophetic times. It's unfolding right before our eyes. It's just like Jesus said about the last days. It'll be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot, when the wickedness was so perverse that God pushed the reset button on both of those cultures and destroyed them. And Jesus said it's going to be the same in the end. It's going to get that bad and worse.
Listen to this just one moment. I'm also now talking to my listening audience. Folks, you wonder why I praise Carl's books, and then also books like, you know, from other publishers, but mainly Carl's book, because here's what you say to church. They roll their eyes at what we're saying and things because they don't know who Baal is. They don't know all these things. They don't have Satan identified. He's almost a fictitious character with some of them. And that's why your work is so important, because you're pointing out to who these people are. You're tracking them back and showing, yeah, this is Baal worship. They've been doing it for thousands of years and blah, blah, blah. But you identify it and prove it. And that comes from that police officer training. But you know what I'm saying? So that's why it's so important to know who they are, to know your enemy. And you're doing that job. Back to you.
Well, thank you. No, you're absolutely right that that's what's important, and thank you for your kind words about my writings and preachings and teachings and conferences, because that's what God has put in my heart, is to expose this darkness in these last days. So the church will have no excuse. I mean, you know, people, there's so many people in the church. Brother, there's a weeding out going on right now. There's a sifting going on in the church, and God is using this COVID virus fear to sift out those that say, well, but Lord, I said, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name, and I did that in your name, and I went to church on Sundays, and I taught Sunday school, and I put money in the offering. And Jesus is going to say, yeah, but when the fire turned up, you ran and hid. Depart from me. You did not know me. I do not know you. I mean, he says, not everybody who just says, Lord, Lord, belongs to me, but he who does the will of my Father. And so, brother, there's so much wrapped up in that. And I don't want to get off track, because you've asked me to talk about Kamala Harris eligibility. I would like to do that, but we laid the foundation to let people know why this is so serious. It's not so much about, oh, here we go again, another birther conspiracy. No, it's not really that. It's about this pervasive evil that never lets up. They want to put a foreign entity in that White House, somebody who has no deep connections to America and to our American heritage, somebody that actually hates what we stand for, to be the commander-in-chief of the military, to be the commander-in-chief of our economy and our government institutions, who can write executive orders. I mean, good gosh, Obama issued the executive order telling schools that little boys and little girls could shower together. I mean, this is the power of that office, and they're trying to pervert it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just a thought passed through my head, but you know, in Torah it even tells us not to let somebody, a foreigner, rule over us. Do not appoint a foreigner over you. It tells us that in I think it's in Deuteronomy. I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, we're not supposed to do that. And Kamala, or whatever Harris's first name is, that's what she is. Back to you.
Yeah, it's Kamala. It's hard to remember. I mean, it could be Kamala or Kamala or Camellia or
yeah.
Yeah, but it's Kamala. Kamala. Kamala.
Kamala.
Kamala Devi.
All right, Kamala. Yeah. Kind of like Camelot.
Yeah, Kamala. 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 Okay. But anyway, here's the deal. She is. I'm just going to give your. I want you folks to listen now because I've worked on this at the criminal level, and I mean, I wasn't the criminal investigator, Mike Zulo was, but I was deputized by Sheriff Arpaio, special deputy, to work as a media liaison in that investigation. Mike and I talked almost daily for years, and you know, he kept me abreast of almost every little detail he was doing and what he was uncovering. From time to time, he would ask my opinion, but that's all. I mean, I'm not saying I directed the investigation. I did not, but he did it. He did the yeoman's work, but I was a confidant, a pastor, a right-hand man, a media consultant with him, and somebody that used to be in law enforcement and somebody that's done investigations. And, you know, from time to time, he could bounce something off of me and say, you know, am I crazy or am I really seeing this? And, you know, I would either tell him he was crazy or he was really seeing it. So that's my role in it. So I just want your audience to know I'm not pulling what I'm getting ready to say. I'm not pulling this stuff out of my back pocket. This comes from 10 or 11 years of me in law enforcement, some of it doing criminal investigations, and then 34, 35 years in ministry and deeply pulling apart the scriptures and seeing the days we're living in, writing about it, doing conferences, being on TV and radio for 25 years. And it also comes from 5 years of this investigation and me doing it with the sheriff's office, Maricopa County, and all of the connections I just said that I had. Okay, now. Having said that, just so your audience
having
knows,
said that, Carl, let me interrupt. We only got about a minute and a half till break, and so you best just wait till we get back. So tell us a little bit about you. You got about a minute. Tell them about your website and what all's over there and what they can find.
Okay, good. And I look forward when we come back where I can unpack this.
Okay.
Yeah, carlgallops.com. If you will go there, folks. It's just my name, CarlGallups, carlgallups.com. My radio show's there. The podcasts are there. The live stream is there. I do an Ask the Preacher on Sunday morning show. I do every Friday, Freedom Friday with Carl Gallups. Been doing that for 22 years or 20 years. Have a huge international audience. It's like a Christian Rush Limbaugh show, if you will. All my books are there. My links to my church is there. Address, email, phone number is there. Plus, go down to the bottom of the page. It's just a one-page repository, but you'll see like a file cabinet kind of links, drop-down links. You click on it, you can find out all kinds of stuff, articles I've written, videos, et cetera, carlgallups.com.
Okay, folks, go over there and check it out, and you enjoy the videos and a lot of good sermons over there. Go check it out, and we're going to go to a break, and we'll come back in a little while. I think I got them early. Folks,
that's okay.
Well, you know, it's usually, we don't usually get out till 27, and it's still 26, and so.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? He calls me there you go.
Yeah.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Father, thy word is true, gift of love from you, faith you chose to see your children through. So take me by the hand, and walk me through this land, the Holy Spirit lead me closer to you. Today you wash my sins away through thy put my trust in you, and you call me friend. Your grace is sufficient for my life. It fills my every need. I know your love for me will always be. Oh, what a Savior. pave the way for all to be saved, even those that lost their way in sin. My vision for the week, your word we must speak, it's a lamp unto our feet to guide us home. The day you washed my sins away, new life began. I put my trust in you, and you call me friend. Your grace is sufficient for my life, it fills my every need. I know your love for me will always be. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a friend. Life with you's everlasting. Your praise my heart will sing. Your praise my heart will sing.
After the children of Israel were in the Promised Land and the sacrificial system for atonement of sin was in place, they still had a choice to make. Would they continue to serve the gods of their fathers, or would they put away those gods and serve the Lord? Joshua cautioned the people that their willful association with other gods would not be forgiven. He warned them that the Lord would turn and do them evil and consume them even after he had done them good. Joshua petitioned the people, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." We know from the biblical record that the children of Israel did not put away the paganism that was among them. Because of that, they were sold into the hands of their enemies, and when they cried unto the Lord, he told them to go and cry unto the gods that they had chosen, and let those gods deliver them. The very same pagan gods and goddesses which the children of Israel refused to put away in Joshua's time can still be found by one name or another in the organized church of today. Balaam is the equivalent of the sun gods celebrated on December 25th, and Ashtaroth is now known as Easter. We too have a choice to make. Who will we look to in the time of our distress? Psalms 34 tells us that the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Proverbs 28 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network, and now we're back with Pastor Carl Gallup, and we're getting ready to talk about some big stuff. You still there, Carl?
I am, and yeah, I just remembered I got to be out of here by 10 till, quarter till, because I've got another interview right behind this, but
I know. I told the producer that, too. I said, you're going to be out, you know, by the 50 mark, so, you know, I'm going to throw you out a couple minutes before that. I'll say, hey, you know, say goodbye, Carl, and all that jazz. So that means right now you've got some time.
Yeah,
to
I need to get right to it. Yeah,
right.
Let me get right to it, brother. So here's the deal. All right, I'll take you and your audience up on a little journey here that will help to explain this. I'm going to begin, and I want you guys just to listen to the whole thing, because I'm building a case here, and you'll see it plain as day by the time I get to the end of it. Bottom line, Kamala Harris is an American citizen, all right? She was born in California, all right? But
that when she was born, on the day she was born, neither of her parents were American citizens. Now, the definition of that kind of birth is an anchor baby. Now, that's not a pejorative. That's what everybody calls it. Even the Democrats talk about the anchor babies, you know. And the bottom line is, we've had a long-standing, I don't know how long the law has been, but if a child is born on American soil, even if their parents are not born here or from here, even if they're illegally here, the child is a legal American citizen. Now, some people hate that law. Some people like it. Some people think it's very, you know, it's loving to the child. And a lot of anchor babies have grown up to be very productive American-loving citizens, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I get that. But the bottom line is there are basically three kinds of legal citizens in the United States. And the law outlines them all. One of them is the anchor baby, okay? So if you're born here, regardless of who your parents are, if you're born in America, you are a citizen. What does that entitle you to? It entitles you to full rights of citizenship, except one office, only one office in the entirety of the nation that you would not be allowed to hold because you were not born as a natural-born citizen, and that's the clause of Article 1 concerning the office of president. Now, we're going to get to that definition because that has been defined by law in Congress, by founding fathers who were serving in the Congress, and it has been quoted as the foundational precedent law as late as 2008, just 12 years ago. It was quoted as, here's the law, and it was quoted by our U.S. Senate in a full resolution. So, you know, people can't say, well, that Constitution, nobody really knows what it means. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. As late as 2008, the entire Senate knew what it meant. And by the way, Hillary Clinton was on the Senate then, so was John McCain, and so was Barack Obama. They were all serving as senators in 2008 and 2007. And so anyway, bottom line is she was born in California. Neither of her parents were citizens. But that's like if a couple of people from Mexico or Guatemala, for example, jumped the fence and came to America and they got into Arizona or Texas or California or wherever, Nevada, and they had a baby. Well, the baby's an American citizen, whether the parents are or not. The parents could be illegals if we catch them and they decide they want to send them back. They can, but it is difficult because the child's an American citizen and it creates all kind of legal ramifications. But the bottom line is Kamala Harris is an American citizen. She is an anchor baby. Now, sometime after she was born, it's my understanding, and I have not verified this, but I've heard a lot of talking heads say that they became legal citizens sometime after she was born. Okay, but at her birth, she was not natural born. Now, another form of legal citizenship is what's called a naturalized citizen. That is, they came here legally, maybe even illegally, and they got some amnesty to go through the process. That can happen. But they came here mainly legally, maybe a work visa, green card, whatever, but they also maybe they were in school here, but then they wanted to jump through all the hoops to become a legal U.S. citizen. And so they went through the process. It takes several years. You have to take a test, et cetera, et cetera. Then you're sworn in. We saw that just a few days ago when Donald Trump did that with a group of people from the Oval Office. He swore in some citizens as a part of this whole process. Okay, they're now naturalized. That means they weren't born here, but they've done everything we've asked them to do to present themselves as citizens. Now, once they are naturalized, what can they do? Well, they have full rights of citizenship, except they cannot be president. Why? Because they were not natural born. See, our founding fathers knew this was a distinction. Why? Because the president is going to be the commander-in-chief of the military forces. He will have the U.S. military, the U.S. Marines, at his immediate beck and call, and the entire U.S. military in times of national emergency. Well, you can't have somebody that's not even from here. Not born here, or even if they're born here, their parents aren't from here, there's no deep connections. You can't have them ordering the United States Marines what to do, or your finger on the red button. Our founding fathers understood this. So they said, now for the president, and that would mean then the vice president, in case the president dies, you cannot be in the office of president, no matter how you get there, if you're not natural born. You cannot, according to law. Now, so there's anchor baby, there's naturalized, and then there is natural born, okay? I, for example, am a natural born citizen. I imagine you are too, Pastor Dan, I don't know, but
yeah,
let me just talk
about it. Wait a minute. Is California still part of the United States?
Brother, I don't know if it's ever been. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
bless their heart. There's a lot of good people out there and a lot of good Christians out there, but
yeah,
I don't.
Amen. I agree. I got a lot of listeners out there.
Yeah. We're just having fun, folks. I live in Florida. It's about the same. So, you know, we make fun of each other. But anyway, bottom line is, then there is natural born. All right. What's natural born? Born on American soil, okay? Well, I was born in Clearwater, Florida, all right? American soil, back in the 50s, okay? What was the status of my parents? Both of them graduates of Clearwater High School back in the day. Both of them American citizens. On my mother's side, I think a couple of generations back, they were immigrants from Germany. On my father's side, they were immigrants, I believe, from Europe and parts of Germany as well, several generations back. But my mother and father were American citizens at the time I was born on American soil. Therefore, I am a natural-born citizen. Under the Constitution, I would be eligible to serve as president. Now, nobody wants me to be president. I'm not going to run to be president. I have no desire to be president. But I am qualified by, according to the Constitution. All right, so that's it. Anchor baby, naturalized citizen, or natural-born citizen. And all of them have full rights of citizenship, except the natural-born citizen is the only one, according to our Constitution and congressional law, that can serve as president. And, by the way, according to the 2008 Senate resolution. Now, let me talk about this. All right. Now, you say, Carl, you keep talking about congressional law. What are you talking about? Some people say we didn't know there was a law that defined natural-born. Surely there is. It's called the Naturalization Act of 1790 and 1795, and the reason it's two is because they revisited it and tweaked it again 5 years later. It was first visited in 1790. Why? Well, think about it. 1776 was the year the revolution started, so 1790, less than 15 years later, of course, we fought the War of Independence for years and years. So in this Congress, there were founding fathers that had been elected to the offices of Senate and House of Representatives. So they were founding fathers. Not all of the congressmen were founding fathers, but a bunch of them were. And so they were faced with this question of, okay, so what's the definition? We put it in there. We know what it means. But how are we going to legally define this? Because we've got a new country on our hands. We've made it clear that we don't want a foreigner running our military or running our nation, for that matter. The commander-in-chief, constitutionally, is the president, and they have to be natural-born. So what exactly does that mean? So the Naturalization Act of 1790, you can read it online. You can actually see the documents, the photocopies of the original documents of 1790. You can see them online. You can read it in their own handwriting, and the law that they passed through the houses and signed by the president and the law of the land. And by the way, it's never changed. It has never, the Supreme Court has never thrown it out or ruled it down. In fact, again, I'm going to quote it in a moment, but 2008, the Senate quoted the Naturalization Law Act of 1790 and 95 as their foundational authority for the decision they made in 2008, just 12 years ago. All right, so what did the law say? The law said to be natural born, both parents must be citizens at the time of the birth, and the birth must have taken place on American soil, or, and this was the thing they were concerned about, they knew that both parents had to be American citizen, and they stated it, but that wasn't even the question. The question was, well, what if they're born overseas at an ambassador's residence? What if they're born in a possession like the Caribbean islands, maybe, or nowadays it would be like Puerto Rico or Guam? What if they're born on a military base like the Panama Canal Zone, but both parents are citizens, but the kids are not born in the – what if they were born in the territories of the 1700s out west? Those places weren't states yet. They were territories. But – and so the Congress said, here's our definition. If they are born on this continent in the United States of America, even in the territories or some holding thereof, provided that both parents are American citizens and that they are legally in those territories or on a military base, whatever, and the child is born, that child is considered a natural-born citizen. Okay, that's it. I mean, that's it. So all the way up to 2008. I got to hurry. My time's running out. Here's what happened.
You got 7 minutes.
This was what was happening. 2008, word was already going around because Barack Obama was running for president. He was a sitting senator. Hillary Clinton was a senator. They were going to run against each other. They hated each other. John McCain was a senator. He would later run. He would run as well, but not win. But then in 2012 he ran again, and he was the one that ran against Obama. But in 2008 he was running as a Republican. But here's the deal: people were beginning to question Barack Obama's eligibility in 2007. Well, some people on the left started questioning John McCain's eligibility at the same time. Why? Because he was born in the Panama Canal Zone on a military base. And people were saying, he's not natural born, he's not natural born. Well, the Senate investigated John McCain. They never investigated Barack Obama. That's another whole story. But they never did. Even though his publishers for 17 years published that he was born in Kenya. I mean, it was in all of his books. It was in everything. But they investigated John McCain. All right. At the end of the investigation, they passed what's called Senate Resolution 511. Your audience can go to the Internet. Just put that in there. They can actually go to the government website, and they can read it. It's only four or five paragraphs. It's easy. It's simple. It's clean. It's clear. They actually quote the Naturalization Act of 1790 and 95 as their justification for their findings. And it starts off, whereas John McCain is running for president, whereas John McCain was born in the Panama Canal Zone, whereas the Constitution doesn't clearly define the definition of natural-born citizen, but whereas the Naturalization Act of 1790, which is a congressional law, did define it, and whereas John McCain's parents were both citizens at the time of his birth and they were serving on a U.S. military base, be it resolved, we find that John McCain, according to the Constitution and the Naturalization Act of 1790, is a natural-born citizen and fully qualified to serve as President of the United States. Okay, now, so there it is. It's simple. Now, and it backs up everything I've been saying. And people might say, well, a Senate resolution is not the law. And my answer to that is, no, but it's a commentary on the law, and it has legal standing unless it's overruled by, like, the president refuses to come on to it, or if the Supreme Court overrules it. In other words, if the Senate's resolution is just wrong. But it wasn't overruled. Why? Because it's right, and to prove that it holds the weight of a law, John McCain ran for president on the weight of Senate Resolution 511. And Senate Resolution 511 appeals to the Naturalization Act of 1790, saying because both of John McCain's parents were citizens at the time of his birth, and because he was born on American soil, an American military base, he is natural born. So there it is. Kamala Harris does not meet those qualifications of just 12 years ago. She does not. She is an anchor baby. She is therefore ineligible to be president. She, I guess, could be vice president, but think of it, brother. What if Joe Biden dies and then the Democrats say, you know what? She's not eligible. Well, gosh, who is? Well, the next person in line would be Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. I smell a rat, brother. I think they know what they're doing.
I
actually, and I've only got a short period of time, and I'll throw you out. I honestly think that they are trying to cause confusion. I don't think they're trying to elect Joe Biden and Harris. I think they're trying to cause a confusion to extend into January to have Pelosi rise up as president. That's kind of been my opinion from what I've been reading and looking at. But I don't know. I do believe this. Do you think that it's going to be smooth, or you think we're going to have a lot of turmoil?
Oh, there's going to be a lot of turmoil, brother. I really don't have any kind of prognostication on how it's all going to pan out.
Right.
In a normal world with a normal election, Donald Trump would win hands down in a landslide. But the party of the Democrats is the party of disrupt and lawlessness, and they are going to do it right up. In fact, Hillary Clinton came out and said, even if it looks like he wins, contest it, never give up, never admit defeat, contest it, take it to court, do whatever you can to get this man out of office. I mean, she said that just a few days ago. They are evil. They are ready to rock and roll. It's going to be nasty, brother. They know if he goes back in office, a lot of them are going to prison because of these investigations he's doing, and they've got to get him out of there. It's going to be ugly, brother. It's demonic.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Carl, you only got about a minute and a half. Just give them your website, and we'll talk again, my brother.
Okay, thanks. I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on. You're so kind. Yeah, my website's carlgallops.com, carlgallops.com. You find out everything about me there. Plus, you can connect with me there, email, phone number, see all of my books, connect to my church, watch us live online on Sundays, watch our sermons that are archived. So carlgallops.com.
All right. Bye-bye, brother. We'll talk again. Be blessed.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl, and believe me, he's right on the money. Maybe I know a lot of people that it's, that's old information or whatever, but he was on that posse, and it is really an interesting story about Barack Obama. Maybe we can get him to come back on, and he did it several times over the period of years. We've talked about it as things progressed. But maybe we'll get him to talk about it from start to finish. It's a really interesting story because just listening to him, there's several different reasons why Barack Obama was ineligible. Just a second. Anyway, for office. And he, and now, Carl, if you didn't listen to our first program, you should go listen to it, the one that my wife and I did. And we went through some of these quotes that Pelosi is saying and Al Gore is saying, and some of these others about Biden not giving up and removing Trump from office come January 20th with the military because the election will not be decided by then, so on and so forth. They know that all those mail-in ballots, there's a difference between an absentee ballot, I told you on this program before. You have to prove who you are. You have to request it. You prove who you are. These other ballots that they want to use is just mailed out to everybody. And there's so much room for error. You don't have to prove who you are, but it will cause confusion in the election, and that's what they're praying for. And then if there's confusion and it's still going through the courts come January 20th, guess what? Whoever the Speaker of the House of Representatives is becomes president. That's fact, folks, until the court decides. So can you imagine Nancy Pelosi actually taking office of the President of the United States? And she brags about it all the time, saying she's the next one in line to be president. I think that's what she wants in reality. I think that's their hope. How can we change this? Well, of course, prayer. You got to pray a lot. But faith without works is dead being alone. You read about that in James chapter 2. Talks about just praying for people or doing things in action and how Abraham went into action. But here's the point. Get out and vote. Talk to others to vote. You get out and vote and go to polls. We also need you not only to vote for Trump, but maybe you're a Democrat and you're listening tonight, or you have a Democrat friend. You've got to vote out your Democrat senators and your Democrat House. At the very least, we've got to keep the Senate, but we've got to vote these guys out of the House of Representatives. Otherwise, there is going to be the same thing over again that we've experienced. And it was just pointed out to me by the producer, by the way. Hello, Frank. Especially, he says, the demon DAs. Now, Soros put a lot of money behind those DAs in places like, and I know I got listeners up there in Seattle and Portland, Oregon. In places and cities like that, these rioters that are burning things down, and have you heard in some of these cities, they're trying to put the police in. They tried to use cement one night. They're trying to put the police in and burn them alive. These people, when they do get arrested, they're arrested. They're let out the next day without bail, and they're dropping the charges on them. Why? Because we have DAs like that. The Chicago, Illinois, the things that are going on there. The DA over there, he's just, you wouldn't believe how many felons that woman has let loose. And we're talking about before the riots. You've got to have law and order people. Otherwise, the violence in your cities is just going to continue. And you folks in those cities are the one that has the power. I don't. President Trump really doesn't, unless he calls this national martial law, I guess. But the point is we need the DAs out of there. We need the DAs out of there. And so you get people that are being charged with felonies are just being let loose. Or this horrendous thing where this young man was defending himself and also defending shots over there that they're rioting about now. And what? They have him charged with murder and some other things. And all he did was defend himself, and he's a 17-year-old kid. In fact, just before radio, I noticed that they just charged him with being too young to have a weapon. I know in a lot of states you can have a long gun. You may not be able to have a pistol, but I know in Kansas you can have a long gun as long as you don't buy it yourself before you turn 18. It has to be given to you. And so, because they consider people to give things, guns as gifts. That's part of American tradition. Fathers take their sons hunting and so on and so forth. That is an American thing. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We are really trying to get stocked up. If you've got an old laptop laying around, I need a laptop really, really bad, folks. That goes without saying. But also, we really do need to finish stocking at the church. I believe that you should be stocked up to get you through till January. I'm serious. I think that at this election, November and December, January, I don't think it's going to be all settled out then. And Pastor Dana Coverstone had another vision. Dream vision. I don't know if it's from Yahweh or not, because I'm not Dana, but it seems to add up. And there's a new one about President Trump being elected, but a lot of turmoil. And I listened to it earlier today, and you're going to have to listen to it a couple of times. You can find it at prophecyhour.com, but go to the pastor's page, and you can find a link to it. That's what I'm trying to say. You can find a link to it to where you can listen to it. When I get a transcript, I'll put it over there. But again, while I don't have confirmation from Yahweh that his dreams are dream visions, what I do have is if you listen to the program that my wife and I did earlier today, we went through the different news articles of Pelosi and Gore and other ones and the things they've said, and Hillary Clinton even telling Trump saying, or not Trump, I apologize, telling Biden, don't give up no matter what. Al Gore basically said the same thing. Now Pelosi's saying no, she doesn't even want any debate between Trump and Biden. They know that Biden can't beat him. I believe that their hope is on one thing and one thing only, is to cause chaos for this election and to have a coup against the President of the United States of America. Now, I believe you need to be stocked up for that, and I know that these things, if the cities are like this, it's going to cause food shortages. We already, the UN saying there's food shortages, so pray about it. You can donate to us online or mail a check or money order. You can give a donation over the phone, and you can get all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if you don't want to help with the poor, remember, you know, you're listening to radio, airtime costs money. I don't personally sell anything. We're all here because of your kind donation. So pray about supporting us. You can find all the information you need at prophecyhour.com. Again, you can donate online, over the phone, check a money order, call and give a donation over the phone, all those things, normal things. You can do that. If you need a prayer, call me, get a hold of me. We can do that too. if you're going to use my cell phone, text me first, and I'll call you back because I get so many robocalls. But, folks, you must really remember there is only one true God. Who is he? He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return, and the Bible tells us to do it. Well, again, be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be pleased, gracious to them, and give them peace, like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch. We'll